We are 100 games into the 162-game baseball season, and our St. Louis Cardinals are among the best in baseball with a remarkable record of 64-36 at the 100-game mark. But there's still 62 games to go. It is a long season for everybody involved, from the players to the concessionaires to the sports writers to the management team, etc. And that right there is the concept of my next guest's book. His name is Barry Zwerluga. He is a national baseball writer for the Washington Post and author of The Grind, Inside Baseball's Endless Season. Barry, welcome to the show.
Paul, thanks for having me.
Was it a grind for you to sit in the press box and watch the Washington Nationals day in and day out?
No, I don't think you can ever say the opportunity to get paid to watch baseball is is a grind. We choose the life, and it's a joy at one end. But I don't think you can dismiss the impact of that everydayness on everybody that comes into contact with the players. It's not just the players having to go through that performance every night and the pressures that come with that performance, and then, you know, dealing with an 0-for-4 with three strikeouts and leaving the guy stranded on third and having to come back and do it again. There's a whole apparatus around them that fits into that schedule that has their lives dictated by that schedule. It's really all-consuming and very different than any other team sport, and that's kind of why I wanted to build the...
Is the hardest part for the players that frustration you're talking about, or is it boredom? I mean, when you use a word like the grind, it makes me think, oh, so boring.
Yeah, not boring. I think that's the wrong way to look at it. I think it is kind of suffocating in a way. The mental part of it, I think, is just enormous, because there is no time to go and work on your game. There's no breathing room to say, I'm going to take a few days here, I'm in a slump, and I'm going to really try to hone my swing, or, you know, as a pitcher, a reliever, try to work on my craft, because the next performance is right around the corner. So it's different than, you know, football, which is a build to a weekly 3-hour performance on a Sunday. It's really a crescendo. The baseball schedule is a kind of drum beat that is relentless. And when you're going bad, you know, managing those times and being able to go out there on that stage each night and endure that process is the toughest part for these guys.
I would also think staying in shape over the long haul is tough, because you got distractions all along the way. Sure, you play almost every day for 6 months straight, but still, you got to be in your top shape, because you never know when you're going to need to sprint for that long ball.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think, one, people have a kind of misconception about how physically demanding baseball is. I mean, people think a guy stands in right field and only gets a couple balls a night and maybe has, you know, 4 at-bats and only has to run hard a couple times. But doing it day in and day out is very, very difficult. Guys, part of what's shown in the book is what guys have to do in the off season in order to continue to be in shape in August and September, because what you do in January has an impact on how you feel late in the season. And then there's just day-to-day routine stuff. People don't realize that these guys get to the ballpark for a 7 o'clock game at 1 in the afternoon and begin their kind of physical build-up to the game. And then a lot of them are lifting weights after the game so that they're kind of taking their spent body and making sure they're maintaining strength throughout that daily grind. It's a very difficult physical demand.
You know, I was reading through the book, and there was one chapter that really struck me, Barry, and that was the one about relief pitchers, because I hadn't really considered this before. Everybody else in the ballpark who came to work that day knew they were going to work, whether it's the beer man in the stands or the ball boy or the bat boy or the starting pitcher or the starting catcher or all the other position players. They all know, okay, I am going to work today. But a relief pitcher shows up, goes and sits on a bench, and might work that day, might not work that day. How do they stay mentally focused?
So that's a really interesting part, too, I think, is that kind of nebulous world where you know, it's not just whether I'm going to work or not. It's whether I'm going to have a night completely off and not lift my hands at all, or whether I'm going to be thrust in the most excruciating, pressure-filled situation,
yeah.
you know, with a one-run lead and runners on base. So the reliever I used in the book is Drew Storen, the Nationals closer, late last season. And his idea was, I've got to keep everything the same so that I'm not, you know, tinkering with my routine, whether I've pitched a lot, whether I've pitched infrequently, whether I'm pitching well, whether I'm pitching poorly. He kept everything so much the same that he ate the same thing for lunch every day. He would go to Chipotle and get a quesarito, and not so that every morning he approached things the way he did the day before. That was the only way that he could deal with kind of the uncertainty that comes with his position.
How about starting pitchers? They know that they're going to be on 4 or 5 days, you know, but they're also there at the ballpark on the days when they're not going to start. But how often, do they ever get called on to do things on their non-starting days?
Well, the chapter on the starter in the book, and I focus on Doug Fister, who's a veteran starter for the Nationals, was really built on the idea of let's find out what these guys do from the time they walk off the mound at the end of one start to the time they take the ball and make the first pitch of the next start. And what you really find out about those guys is, you know, it seems like the easy job that there's 4 days to play golf in between starts. But unlike an everyday player who might be able to have a bad game and wake up the next day and say, well, I've got my next opportunity tonight, I'm going to have a positive attitude and really turn this thing around, they've got to wait, and they've got to also build physically and mentally toward that next start. So that involves, for every one of them, a pretty grueling physical set of demands, which begin immediately after a start, where they're using rubber bands and elastics to kind of flush out their system and stretch out their arms and work hard right immediately after they come off the mound. They usually go for long runs the day after a start to further flush out their systems. And then there's also a mental buildup in terms of looking at video, having a bullpen session in between, refining things, not working too, you know, there's a balance there. How hard do I work in between starts so I'm not spent for the next time out? This is a real process that I think people don't understand very well.
One of the other things you write about in the book, and by the way, this is Barry Zwerluga, who is the national baseball writer for the Washington Post, who has a terrific new book out called The Grind, Inside Baseball's Endless Season. One of the other things you write about, Barry, is the impact on families. And, you know, if you're an NFL player and you live in your home city, after you work out on the early days of the week, you get to go home and see your wife and kids and hang out with them if you want to. And then you really are only traveling over the weekend for away games. But if you're a baseball player, that time away could be 2-3 weeks at a time. And even when you're home, you're still away at the ballpark in the afternoon and evening every single day. What kind of impact does that have on wives and kids?
Well, it's just huge. I mean, their life is quite unfamiliar to most of us, and would seem kind of wacky. You're right about the NFL. I mean, essentially, that's a day job during the week, and really you get a weekend because you have a Tuesday off that's mandated by the league, and oftentimes after a win, the coaches will give players Monday off. The baseball players don't know anything like that, and therefore their families don't know anything like that. I focused in the book on Chelsea Desmond. She's the wife of Ian Desmond, the Nationals' longtime shortstop, and she goes through extraordinary measures to raise her two sons at the time. They now have a third young boy, to the extent that she, in spring training, takes the kids from an off-season sleeping schedule in which they're, you know, kind of up during the day and they go to bed early in the evening, to switching them so that they're up at 11 p.m. and midnight, so that they're there to see their dad when he gets off the field and he's done with it, with work. And then they sleep in the morning and they have some more family time before he goes to the ballpark around 1 or 1:30. So that's just a small part of what she does to help raise her family in as normal a way as possible. But it doesn't even account for the fact that, you know, they're in Washington for half the year and home in Florida for the other half of the year, that Ian's gone for spring training, and he's gone for half the six-month season on the road. It's just a very, very different existence that I think people think money can take care of all those problems and make it easy. But if you're trying to raise your family as you were raised, it's a little bit different, and it takes some logistical adjustments.
You know, we were talking before about the stamina necessary to get through a 162-game season. And if we're talking about the St. Louis Cardinals, as I mentioned, 64-36, or the Washington Nationals, 52-46, both atop their divisions, both having really good seasons. Okay, they're looking ahead to the postseason. They're looking to play every day to get to a better record, to win and get the home field advantage and hopefully get to the World Series. How is it possible to be a player for the Philadelphia Phillies, who we're coming up on the end of July here? They've only won 38 games all year long. They're not going to be in the playoffs. They may not even be allowed to watch the playoffs. That's how bad they are. What's the mental process for these guys going to work every day?
Well, you're right. I mean, that is a different sort of grind when you know we're not even to August 1st and your season's already lost. I've covered teams like that. I've covered teams that have finished in last place and had, you know, seemingly nothing to play for over the final couple months of the season. And what you find is a couple things come to the surface. I mean, a lot of personal pride and a lot of competitive spirit. These guys are athletes who are not used to being in those situations. Most of them, if you're at that major league level, you probably have not played on losing teams your whole life. You've been a part of winning teams and winning programs. And as difficult as it is, these kinds are kind of programmed that, look, it's their reputation. It's their personal reputation, both in how they play, and it's their professional reputation in how they handle it, and how do they go out and try to compete every night, despite the fact that, as you said, the Phillies are woeful and in last place and really have not a lot of hope in terms of winning anything meaningful. But personal pride, professional pride, they both take over. You don't see guys who dog it over those last couple months. This is a very Darwinian kind of existence. They can play themselves out of jobs and out of the majors if they really act in a non-professional way in those situations.
I'm also thinking about the 23rd, 24th, and 25th guys on the roster. You know, the backup utility infielder, the backup outfielder, the backup catcher. They've got to be sitting on the bench thinking, nope, you don't have to call on me today. I'm good.
Well, yeah, that can be true. I mean, that definitely can be true. But think about those guys do not have the kind of guaranteed millions of dollars contract. Yeah. In the book I wrote about in a chapter that's called The 26th Man, a guy for the Nationals who was toggling between the minors and the majors, and what a difference that is both in pressure and existence. You know, the major league minimum salary is more than $500,000 a year. A guy in the minors is making $12,000 or $14,000 a month. That's a real tangible difference in your lifestyle and your future. Every day in the majors is more money for a guy that isn't guaranteed stuff in that situation. So I just think that those guys, while it might seem like, well, this is a wear and tear and I don't want to go play, every opportunity that they have to show what they can do, they take seriously because it really can affect their futures.
Yeah. All right, one last thing I want to ask you, Barry, is if you would tell me a story about an equipment guy or somebody who works in the locker room, the people who, you know, as we mentioned, they go to work every day. They're not like a relief pitcher. They don't know if they're going to have to be out there on the mound today or not. They got to work in the locker room. They got to wash the socks. They got to do all of that sort of stuff. Tell me one story about the grind for them.
Well, and there is a chapter about the clubhouse manager and the traveling secretary there, because I think they're so essential. The chapter's called The Glue for a reason, because this whole operation doesn't run without them. Mike Wallace, the clubhouse manager for the Nationals, on any given day is sewing a button on a guy's uniform that came off in mid game, doing loads and loads of laundry. These thankless jobs that really, if he went away for a week, the whole operation would collapse. There's a whole orchestra behind the performers here that prop them up and put them in position to do their jobs and make it look quite seamless.
Yeah, I don't know if it's him or somebody else in your book who says, that guy could walk in here naked, and when he goes out on the field, he's going to look right.
That's exactly right. Mike Wallace said, look, when they get a new player, you know, bring him through the door, whatever he's like. In half an hour, we're going to have him ready to play in a major league game. That's their job, to put them out there to do the performance that we see.
Well, you've given a fascinating look at a perspective of baseball that a lot of people have not thought about before. I know I enjoyed the read, and I'm sure baseball fans will as well. It's called The Grind, Inside Baseball's Endless Season. Barry Zwierluga, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Really appreciate it, Paul. Thanks for having me.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.